Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to the...
The show. Why did you pointed at me as if...
The show,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's
you sure?
Yeah. I am.
Oh, what a strange start to this episode.
Yeah, that's where I'm going. What's going on?
Well, not much, mate. Not much.
How's your foot?
It's good. Well, no, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good.
Why did I say it was good?
You had something go through it.
I did. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah,
sorry.
Warning for anyone.
Yeah, content warning for the squeamish. Yes, I got a piece of glass straight through my foot on Sunday, on Father's Day. I was just having a walk to the gym, and a glass bottle shattered in my foot. So
yeah. Did it shatter in your foot? Did you step on it?
Yeah, so I stepped
you
on.
Not see it.
I don't. Well, I was texting my dad. You know, it was Father's Day.
I see.
And
yeah,
I was just walking because you know how you're walking and you make decisions in milliseconds, don't you? When you're walking about where's safe, where's not, and you don't really notice you're making those decisions. And yeah. I made that decision to just start crossing the road, and there was just there was a paper bag on the floor, and I must have stepped on it. And inside the paper bag was a glass bottle. And then the glass bottle just decided to go straight through my trainer and straight through my foot. So when I said my foot was good earlier, I lied because it's not really. It's not really.
No, but it's literally the opposite.
It is, but that's okay. That's okay. Things happen. Mm. Things happen. You know, we get through them. I won't go into the gory details of what happened afterwards, I suppose, on the podcast.
How long are you bound to a chair or a bed or whatever?
Okay, it's not that bad. It's not that bad, Tom. I can move around.
Can you? Day you said you could barely walk. You can't put any pressure on
your foot. Well, I've got crutches. No, I got crutches.
Yeah, but still, that's a faff, isn't it?
It's such a faff, yeah. I mean, I've got my stitches in until Monday. So my stitches will have been in for a week and a day. And then I don't know what will happen after. I imagine I'll be able to walk after that. I think the crutches are so that I don't burst my stitches. But it'll be fine. It'll be fine in a few days. It's all good. All good. It's painful though. I will say that.
Yeah.
Because we've all stood on a Lego brick or we've all stood on a plug.
That it's funny when you say that. I can then feel exactly how much worse that feels. Well,
anyway,
how
are you?
Get well. I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm excited, Geddy, because we're doing exciting things.
We are. Yeah.
We're organizing a festival.
A festival?
A festival with lots of cool acts and people. We're going to share it all on the socials next week. But yeah, really exciting, everyone. If you tickets are free, we've got some really, really TBC, but really cool people.
Really cool people. Yeah.
So
very excited.
Just keep an eye out. But that's basically what I've been doing. I feel like
I know it feels really weird because
the past few days.
It feels really weird because I've seen a lot of you over the last 2 weeks, and I've talked a lot with you. But just not really about the podcast. It feels weird to be back doing the podcast again properly.
We're spinning a lot of plates.
We are spinning many
plates. Which is good. I love spinning plates.
Me too.
You know, sometimes you kind of just autopilot a plate and then you look back at it and you go, oh yeah, you're there. Let me give you some attention. And this is the plate, this podcast. Eyes locked on. And here we are.
You can tell he's out of practice, can't you? He's getting back into the swing of things.
Very good.
What did you think of my one man exit of the podcast last week?
Yep. It was nice that someone took on the flame. You know, doing the speech at the end. What is with all these metaphors? Why can't I just say what I... It was nice that you took on the responsibility of saying the stuff at the end.
Thank you, mate. Well done.
Bloody hell. Why do I have to just
you're
say
such
what
a writer,
I mean?
Just speak in metaphor
say what
all the
you
time.
See.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, we're back. And And you know what else is back? Our theme song. So here we are. This is
the return of the so.
The return of the so. Yeah, the sooth. Terrible. they're not going to get any better. Thing is, they're never any good anyway.
No, so I know. I know.
So, what letter do we have this week? This week we have
W.
Yes, it's W.
It is W.
Which we've gone for slightly kind of left field, I think. Although it shouldn't be left field because of the people in it, but it is. I've not really heard of it. Had you?
Yes, I had heard of it, yeah.
Okay. Well, this week we're looking at war paint.
War paint.
Which I have to say, when I read it on the Wikipedia list, I was not expecting this story. But it's a very good name. It's a cool name.
Great name for a musical, isn't it?
It's a really good name, yeah.
Yes, music by Scott Frankel, lyrics by Michael Corey, and a book by Doug Wright.
Mm-hmm. And directed by Michael Grief.
Of Dear Evan Hansen and Next to Normal fame.
Indeed. Very good director. Indeed. Big, 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 big fan of him.
Yeah, well, Scott Frankel. Interesting. I really like the story. I love the fact that that's a story that's being told. I think, because I didn't know about any of this. You know, never having been involved in the makeup world, really. Not really knowing what it's about, but like this really cool American like soap drama was going on throughout like the 20th century about all these makeup companies.
Soap. It was more sort of eyeliner and lipsticks, but
and it was just really, really interesting to see these stories like clash and see how it happens. Like it was like watching it's like an American legal drama. You know what I mean? Like all these like takeovers and squabbles and secret plans and yeah, it's really cool. I do really like the idea of making
that
into a
musical. Lehman trilogy.
I didn't see it. I have read the script though.
It was amazing. And you've read the script, yeah, so you'll know. Really, really good. Mm. It reminded me of that. And I was really...
yeah, it's similar.
Yeah. It was a similar kind of... That American kind of New York kind of... What do you call it? Kind of go-getter, entrepreneur, American dream story.
Stuff, yeah.
But it was great that it... I just think it's great that it... You know, someone did it about two women. You know, they're two powerhouses, which I didn't even know this, like you said, I didn't even know this story happened or existed.
No, I'd literally never heard of Elizabeth Arden or Helena Rubinstein before this.
I'd heard
and now
of
I have, and now I'm very interested by them.
Yeah. 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 Well then, to keep the listeners out of the dark, if they haven't heard of it before, I'm going to give them a little bit of plot.
You ready?
I'm there.
You're there.
I'm ready to roll.
You're ready. Yeah, I'm ready to roll. Okay. So, in three, in two, in one, go!
War Paint tells the story of two of the USA's most prominent entrepreneurs, Elizabeth Arden and Helena Rubinstein, and their fight for supremacy over the mid-20th century's cosmetics market. We follow both Arden and Rubinstein as they expand their businesses from small-town outlets to New York City Goliaths, and the various conflicts they encountered as they attempt to knock one another off the top spot. Both Arden and Rubinstein begin the story disliking one another, Arden's marketing focused on aesthetic and Rubin's focused on science, as they expand their paths, continuously running into each other, stealing ideas, clients and even staff. After 30 years or so of battle, the show ends with the two finally meeting when they are both recognized for their contributions to women in industry as guests of honor, as they recognize and appreciate the skill and prowess of one another and remove their war paint.
Oh, nice.
What do you, yeah?
Oh, that was such a good one to start with that plot, mate. That was very good.
Thanks, mate.
I love the ending as well, to remove their war paint.
I know.
And fight for supremacy in the 19th century American cosmetic industry. Oh, it's almost like you're a writer.
It's true. It's no, it true. Is true. It's I felt, you know, having a history degree, I did feel like, oh yeah, I remember doing this. I remember using these skills before.
And it was 44 seconds and 45 milliseconds. You have 15 damn milliseconds to spare. Look at that.
That's good.
What a welcome back. Tight. What a treat, yeah, listeners, you've been given there. What a treat.
Wow. Yeah.
He is so proud of himself.
I'm grinning.
I can see him, and he's grinning so hard. I haven't seen him smile like this for weeks.
What was I going to say? There's loads of intricacies to this story. Like I said, yes, like the Lehman trilogy and Hamilton, all these stories which follow people's lives. Obviously, there's loads going on. But I think that gives quite a good kind of A to B of what the whole show is about and what to expect if you go and listen to the album or you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Watch some clips on YouTube or something.
Because there's all that kind of other stuff in there about their dodgy dealings with a couple of men and their dodgy dealings in terms of, as you say, the intricacies in trying to, you know, up one another and get above the competition and all those kind of things that you see in the show. And there are a couple of songs there here and there. But yes, to get into 45, yes, but to get into 45 seconds would be quite hard. So no, you did a good job. Good job.
It's a really cool show because it really shines a light on actually the kind of the way the industry grew. Like more so like with regards to what they had to reveal to people who were buying the products, kind of the marketing strategies that go around cosmetics, kind of like the fact that these things that we take for granted now, like, you know, you've got moisturizers by the dozen, you know, were basically made by these women and their companies.
Yeah, it's true. And also, you know, to have a story about two women at this time, you know, really being at the forefront of their industry and really fighting to be seen as proper business people, which they were. You know, in true story fashion, Rubenstein turned after selling her business just before the crash, she sold it for a couple of it was in the double figures of millions. I can't remember what it was. It was like 20 million or something. But then obviously it lost a lot of money during the crash. And she bought it back for $1 million. And by the end of her life, she had got that back to her company being worth $100 million in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Which means now just unreal amounts of money, you know. That's just so impressive. And I just hadn't even heard of her really before diving into this show properly. Which is mad when you think about it, because it is such a big part of our world now.
Well, massively. But yeah. I suppose, you know, as you said at the start, not really our world as much.
No, true.
Like, we don't really know. Like, that's why I found this really interesting, actually, just in terms of, it was kind of something I never, like you say, never, ever read about or really think about. And it's quite cool to see how, you know, it's funny, isn't it? You look at something like the makeup industry or cosmetics industry, and because it's all about beauty and whatever, you kind of, I don't know, it's got this gloss to it, hasn't it?
Yes,
it's got this kind of superficial gloss. And then it's quite, I found it really interesting, like taking off the lid and seeing all the like behind the scenes conflict.
Yeah, definitely.
And the fighting, because it's true, I guess, like, how do you separate, you know, how do you sell your lipstick over someone else's if they kind of look, you know, if the things that they're doing
the same
on your face are such a good question. Minuscule.
I don't know how people do that. Like, how do they? Oh, actually, I do know, because I suppose at the end of the day, it's just exactly the same as why we pick our shampoos and why we pick deodorants, isn't it?
But it was cool to see that this in its infancy, these ideas that we take for granted now, and these.
Yeah.
For me, it was really cool to see the marketing side, which I'll talk about later when we talk about favorite songs and stuff.
Yeah.
But just to see how, again, these sort of marketing ideas, especially in the cosmetics industry, you know, about like having two, like a day cream and a night cream. These were all born from these two businesses. these two women.
These two women.
And and we should say, and their staff as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very interesting. Just a really cool story, and also like such a good premise for a show. Such a good premise for a show.
Yeah.
I think
which I agree.
Is why you know, I have to say, listening to the album, I was slightly disappointed by it in a way.
What, the music?
Yeah, I just felt like, again, we say that, you know, I couldn't see it, can't watch it, but reading the story, it's really gripping. And I just felt like the music at points didn't really match it.
The guy who wrote the music, Scott Frankel, you know, he's an MD, conductor, and a pianist. He was, you know, a pianist for Into the Woods, Les Mis, Rags, Falsettos. He's written operas with the guy who wrote the lyrics before. And yet, I don't know, it's just the music doesn't, we'll talk about it later, but yeah, you're right. It just doesn't grab you like the story does, you know, it doesn't grab you like the story does. But then we should say the book writer, Doug Wright, has won a Pulitzer Prize for drama.
But yeah, you know, we'll talk about the music later.
We will. Obviously, it's got your mate, Patti LuPone, in it.
I was going to say, she, you know, she was out of my life for quite some time. And now she's thoroughly in it.
Well, that's not surprising. We're doing a musical theatre podcast.
Every show we go to every other week.
Patti LuPone. We're mentioning Patti LuPone.
Patti LuPone? Well,
mate, she's an icon.
Patti LuPone. She is.
She's an absolute icon. You know, and it's not that surprising when you're doing a musical theatre podcast that you might then start knowing who Patti LuPone is.
Yeah, weird that, isn't it?
It is weird. And did you recognise Christine Ebersole?
No.
Have you ever seen the film Richie Rich?
No. No.
You've never seen Richie Rich?
No. Is that bad?
What? No, it's not necessarily bad, but Richie Rich.
Oh, she did Saturday Night Live.
That film was on.
I do know that.
Yeah, I know, but like, Richie Rich was on Channel 5 like every weekend when we were growing up. How did you not manage to see Richie Rich?
Yeah. No, sadly, no. Sadly, I do not know of
her. Oh, all right. Well, fair enough then.
Yeah. And I deliberately tried to, you know, I clicked on the profile, looked at the face. No, nothing. Got nothing for you. It's time for this week's quiz. This week's quiz is called Back on Top. Yes, here we are for this week's quiz. And Back on Top is where I hope to be.
Can you even get back on top? Well, you say back on top suggests you were ever on top. To be honest,
I was for a good 2 weeks, I believe.
Were you? Gosh, I don't remember that. Yeah, I was about to say, can you even get back on top? Is that something you can do?
Yes, because the scores on the doors are. That was a drum roll.
Was that a drum roll?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It sounded like Chewbacca needing to throw up.
That's quite good, isn't it?
It's not terrible, to be fair. I don't think I can do it at all.
I think it's less trill and more like full. Yeah, there's a bit of that trumpet on it.
No, it's more the growl, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. Anyway. Anyway, so you are on 33.5 and I'm on 29.5.
Oh, okay.
And there's still
So you can still do it.
There's still this one, and there's still, I believe, Y and Z.
Y and Z. Yeah.
Because we got a little treat in store for next week.
Yes, we do.
yeah. Okay, so as always, you ask the first question because you're leading, or you can choose to be asked, and the fight continues for the free show tickets.
It does indeed. Yeah. Well, here we go then. Shall we get this? Let's put on our war paint and let's get going. Question it's number one, Tom. And it does start difficult, I'm afraid.
Oh, for God's sake.
Question number one. Warpaint made its regional theatre debut in April 2019 with 9 performances produced by whom?
9 performances? Yeah. Produced? What do you mean produced?
So I need the name of the theatre company that produced this community theatre production of Warpaint.
Community?
Yes, Amdram, mate.
Oh, I don't know, some random thing out in nowhere. And they've got one planned in 2019. I don't know what.
Oh my gosh! Well done. Yeah, it literally says that theatre out in the middle of nowhere. Well done.
They've got one planned in. They say they've got one planned in 2019. I mean, I don't know. Community theatre of somewhere about something.
Oh, you are 50% of the way there. Go on, just name a place. See if you can get it.
Name any American community theatre of New Hampshire.
No. it was the community theatre of Little Rock.
Okay, fair enough. And does it say they've got one planned in 2019?
So another theatre production does. Yeah. So their production by the Kalamazoo Civic Players was scheduled for the May 3rd to the 19th of 2019. Yeah. What a name that is, though. The Kalamazoo Civic Players. Hey.
Kalamazoo.
In Michigan.
Would they have done it? Or would they not have done it? Yeah, they would have done it.
2019, yeah. COVID was 2020.
Yeah. 2020. The year we all forgot. We'll never forget.
We'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The year frozen in time. Yeah, I did see that. It's quite nice that people are still doing it. It's good.
Yeah. Well, as we've said, it's an important story, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's good. I think it's the kind of thing that would sell here, maybe. A limited.
I don't know if it would maybe. Because it's a very American story, isn't it? And it's
also. But I found it really interesting.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know if many people would. I mean, Americans didn't even find it that interesting, did they?
That's true.
Originally.
That's true.
They found it interesting because it was Patti LuPone and Christine Ebersole, I think, more than it being.
But I can see it being done at, like, you know, I don't know, like the Barbican or like, you know, the Dorfman or something. And it's all like very, you know, it's all like limited run, Patti LuPone. You know,
Patti LuPone.
Comes
Do you have to say it like that every time you say it? Patti LuPone.
Patti LuPone. Patti LuPone. Patti LuPone.
Patti LuPone.
Look, she deserves that sort of prowess around her name, you know, Patti LuPone.
Mm-hmm. If you say so, sir.
Meet her. She's going to be like, I don't think I ever will, yeah. But if I did.
No, I mean, also, she is quite intimidating. I feel like it would be quite something being face-to-face with Patti LuPone.
Yeah.
Hmm. I've already said, though.
Obviously.
Yeah, I don't think I would ask her about musical theatre if I was to meet Patti LuPone. I'd actually talk to her about her guest spot on Frasier. What she won an Emmy for, playing Aunt Zora.
Of course she did.
She plays a Greek woman called Zora. She plays, I mean, it's basically pantomime. It's basically pantomime.
Is it?
But yes, she plays Frasier Crane and Niles Crane's auntie. Aunt Zora. And that's what I would ask her about, because I do love Frasier. So there you go.
So your first question then. How many songs were removed from Act One for the Broadway production? Bonus points if you can name one. No, that's not true. Just
I think it 3 or 4, wasn't it? Three or four.
I need an answer.
Okay, I'll go with 3.
Correct.
Yes. Dun. I did actually count them, and you'll see why I did a lot of the counting this time. Because one of my questions is a county question as well.
Great, just the way we like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. They moved 3. Good. Another example of, just writers not being happy with making those changes. It was interesting. I had a writing meeting yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And we've written the opening number of a certain show.
Yeah.
4 times, right? And yesterday we thought we cracked it. We went in and we were like, oh. And we're still working away on it, right? We're still like, oh, no, we're still finding things. And it really is, a musical's so difficult because there are days where you write a song and you're just like, this is it. This is the song. This is great. You know, and there are days where you just have a bad writing day and then you have another. And then and this is why it's like, it's so difficult because you're essentially writing a musical album. You know, you're writing an album and every song needs to be at this level. And if you have a dart, it can really impact the whole thing. So it's like, it's quite interesting to just see how many shows, even after they've opened in like a massive venue regionally, even then go, okay, well, we're still not happy. Let's change. Like we saw with Shrek, like we saw with like Anything Goes.
I mean, we've seen it with every show, mate. And it's a thing that comes up actually quite a lot. People do know how hard it is to write a musical. I mean, I there was a joke in New Girl. I'm rewatching New Girl at the moment. And Zooey Deschanel's character was having an argument with Jake Johnson's character. And one of the lines was, you can't do that. That's like taking a musical straight from rehearsals to Broadway. You have to workshop it first.
Yeah.
You know, people do know.
Well, even just in this room yesterday, like I said, we'd written it all down and we were really happy with it. You know, sent a couple of WhatsApps and then we met in the room. We sang it out loud and we presented it. And it was like, it was so weird. As soon as we did the performance and it finished, we were like, oh, no, that's not right. This needs to change. That's good. That's bad. Cut that. Keep that.
It's obviously, just, that's it's not a a writing kind of experience that I've had the luxury of having yet. Because when we wrote together, we didn't have the time to sit there and go, "This doesn't work. This doesn't work." Did we?
No, we had a week to write and direct and.
Well, dude, we wrote those songs in an afternoon.
We did. Techies the Musical. Never forget it. What an experience.
Anyway, do you want your second question?
Yes, please.
Yeah, okay, here we go. You ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Question number 2.
Yeah.
Who said that war paint was a glorified concert for Ebersol and Lupone?
The Huff Post.
I will give you the point. Yeah.
Correct. Thank you.
Correct answer. Ding, ding, ding. I mean, I haven't seen it. Ding, dang, dong. It's the other way around, isn't it?
Sings. I don't know.
Ding, dang, dong. No, it's bing, bang, bong. It's bing, bang, bong, not ding. Bing, bang, bong.
Sing, sing, song.
Ding, dang, dong.
Ding, dang, dong. UK
Han.
Is that right?
I think so.
One of them. One of the bings and bongs.
Yes, things. But I mean, I haven't seen it. You haven't seen it. We haven't seen it. However, I'm inclined to agree with Mr. Christian Lewis of the HuffPost, because it does seem like that's basically why people
every
went.
Every song and is them.
Basically, I think
literally,
yeah.
I was really apart like, from I mean, you get it them, with a lot of shows, but yeah, but this album really was literally all of them.
Right.
Yeah. It was really.
It was
quite something. Impressive.
Quite something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they are good. You just, the thing is, they are just bloody fantastic.
Of course, yeah.
You know.
If you can watch the final scene.
Oh, did you watch it?
Yeah.
I mean, they are good.
They're just so good at holding like pacing
an audience and storytelling.
Audience.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just so good.
And singing. Just
singing. Yeah. You know. Well, also, you know, this whole time, Patti LuPone was in incredible pain. She as soon as the show finished, well, they actually moved up the show closing date once they knew they were going to close, because she needed a hip replacement.
She did.
And she did that. She did
indeed.
Yeah, she did that whole show needing a hip replacement.
So you knew that beforehand?
I did, yeah.
Did you? Yeah. How much of this show did you know before? How aware of it were you?
Like I said, I
was not.
I was aware
that's
of it.
That's not surprising.
No, it's not really. I was aware of it for two reasons. I'd heard of the musical because that year at the Tonys was just absolutely epic. In 2017. Because it was the same year as Hanson, Anastasia, Come From Away, Groundhog Day, Natasha and Pierre, blah, blah, blah. It was like such a massive year. Just all these musicals. I'd also heard of it because I was living with Amy Churchman at the time. Or I was just about to move in with Amy Churchman, our friend from university, everyone listening. And she loves her musicals, and she'd heard of this musical that was about these two makeup entrepreneurs.
She loves Patti LuPone.
Amy loves Patti LuPone.
Yeah.
But yeah, she loves Patti LuPone, and she was talking to me about it a while ago, and I hadn't listened to it. I'd heard Face to Face before, once, I think. But that's about it, really.
Your next question. My next question? I've completely forgot. My next question, right?
You're asking me question two.
Ready?
Always.
What are Arden and Rubenstein forced to do by the Senate and the FDA?
I don't know if you're going to be cheeky on the wording with me, because all I remember is that they're forced to appear in front of a committee and testify against one another, right?
Yeah.
Or is that after?
What happens after that?
I can't remember. Do they have to pay one another for defamation?
No. Interestingly, they are forced by a Senate hearing to put labels on their products.
Really?
And it came back about as a result, as you said, of them taking each other to court and stuff. And basically they shot themselves in the foot, but because they couldn't come to a decision, and they kept bringing information about each other's businesses to the courts. The courts
corporate
said, well,
espionage.
The only solution to this is for you both to basically tell everyone what you're putting in your products. And then the second act opens with all these high society women reading all the ingredients in these creams.
Oh yes, of course it does.
And it's all about this like rat poison and flea powder that they use on their cats. And these women are like horrified that that's what that's what this cream consists of.
So
obviously
so without
no one has any understanding of what of chemistry or kind of how all these things mixed together are. They're used in like very small things that aren't harmful. Well, we don't think at the time.
So do we think that without that, then we wouldn't be having labels on all that stuff now? Is that
I don't know. I imagine eventually somehow that would have happened. But yeah, that was definitely a catalyst. For
wow, that is
before,
genuinely interesting.
Yeah, well, this is what it says in the show.
Yeah,
before
yeah, yeah.
They just put stuff in it. You know, you had that traveling salesman, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With like snake oil and be like, this all.
Yeah.
Cure all your ailments.
Yeah,
it's kind of that era.
It's true. That's very interesting. I totally forgot. I only remembered them going to court and going to that select committee in the American government, which in itself makes, again, just shows you how interesting this story is. The fact that they went to the government, there was a whole committee set up to investigate them and what was going on with their companies and stuff. Back in the day.
Well, they were one of the biggest, one of the biggest, or two of the biggest cosmetic companies in the country.
Mm. Yeah,
so
mad.
Makes sense.
Madness.
There you go.
Very good. Very good. Okay, your final question. Are you ready?
I am.
Question number three.
Number three.
Number three.
Give it to me.
How many total awards was the musical nominated for? Total. Drama desks, Tonys,
That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous
drama
question.
Leagues.
I can tell
what
you
else? Drama
Tonys.
Desks.
Are you joking? All of them,
yeah.
The awards.
All of the awards it was ever nominated for.
I mean, can I have one either side, or is this just off the bat?
You can have one either side unless you get one either side. I'm joking. You can have one either side.
13.
You didn't need one either side because you got it bang on.
Are you joking?
No.
13. I got it.
Yeah. You got it.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not.
I keep doing that. What is it with these questions and me just whacking out a number?
I don't know. It's highly annoying.
I think it's like, you know, when I'm looking, I think because I can see the four. So whatever.
Are you trying to say that you're some sort of subconscious maths genius?
Yeah, I think so. Harvard, if you're listening. Oxford, Cambridge. Come on. Come on down.
Come on down.
Just the whole of Cambridge. Just Cambridge. No, not a person. Just Cambridge University.
I'm what you want. Harvard, what you want is me. And you know it's true. I can count to three. Come on, Harvard.
That's the one. I can count to 13, actually.
Yeah. I can count to 13.
Cool. Yeah, 13. 13. Quite a lot of awards. How many did it win, Geddy?
It won three, Tom.
What did it win?
Outstanding costume design at both the Outer Critics Circle Award and the Drama Desk Award. And it won Outstanding Wigs and Hair, also at the Drama Desk Awards. It didn't win any Tonys. But as I say, in a year where you're up against Dear Evan Hansen, Anastasia, Come From Away, Natasha and Pierre, you know, it's going to be difficult. Dear Evan Hansen didn't even get nominated the most that year. Did you know that? Dear Evan Hansen got nominated. No, it got nominated 9 times at the Tonys. Natasha and Pierre was it 1812? And I can't remember the whole title. Natasha and
with
Pierre in the 1812.
Josh Groban.
Written by David Malloy. That got nominated the most that year with 12 Tony nominations that year. Yeah. So
what got the most?
You know,
did Hansen
difficult.
Get the most wins?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. But
I've not really listened to that.
But we should do it. Dave Malloy is a very interesting composer. Very interesting. By that, I mean he's a bit weird.
Your final question.
Dun dun.
Your final question.
You should say it like an arcade game. It's your final question.
It's your final question. How are you feeling, Geddy?
Fine, thanks.
Great. Just sit back, relax, and it'll come your way. Okay, strap on in. Here we go. Geddy, your final question of today is, who was nominated for Best Costume Design of a Musical for the show War Paint?
That would be, as obviously the last question might intimate, I know the answer is Catherine Zuba.
Yeah. You got that correct, Geddy. And I heard you say it earlier, and I should have changed the question, but I didn't. So you get the point. And that's all, folks. Thanks for joining us for another session of Get On Top. I don't know.
Get On Top.
Let's go back on top. I couldn't remember what it's called.
Yes.
I couldn't remember.
Yes.
Woo. Oh, no. Another one. Get On Top. I was flying so high, ironically, and now I fall back on top.
Back on top.
Get on top.
You can't say that. You can't say that.
It's just, there's nothing wrong with saying that.
That's true.
It's just getting on top of the pack. Oh dear. Come
it's
on, everyone.
Getting worse.
Come on.
Put the shovel down.
Come on, everyone.
No, don't do that.
Oh no. Stop it.
Getting hot in here. I saw that. The t-shirt.
Yeah, little t-shirt tag.
Getting a bit flustered. Hot under the collar, are we?
It is Friday night. Okay,
and?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know what that means. I just felt like, just filler. Just give me some filler.
There. What?
Stop. Right, stop it. Stop it. No. Okay, well, Getty, after that, you got, so you are now on,
oh my God.
35.5.
Yeah, well done.
35.5.
This maths genius really is in your subconscious, isn't it?
And I'm on 32.
Oh.
It's getting close, it is. Yeah, it's getting pretty tight. What? For fuck's
sake. It's just where you've put my mind. Sorry. I'll stop. I apologize.
It's getting pretty close up there. So I pulled it back. I was down in the dumps. You know, I was back in the back catalogues. But, you know, I'm now kind of, you can flick through a couple of records and you'll find me there behind, you know, Led Zeppelin or something. You're Led Zeppelin in that analogy.
Right. Well, what an eclectic record shop you'd be going into. Tom Ling, Mr. Musical Theatre Writer behind Led Zeppelin. They also really need to sort out their advertising.
Like, you're Led Zeppelin and I would be like...
Yeah. Oh, no, Led Zeppelin and Ling. Led Zeppelin. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, you're right. That's
It would be like a folk rock thing.
Would it? Oh, so you're thinking of yourself as being a bit of a, I don't know, what?
Yeah. I don't know. What
Paul
do you think?
Simon. Or.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. What's your favorite song and why? Here we are again.
You've started every section so far. I'm doing it.
Oh, sorry. It's just what I do.
He takes over. I just want everyone to remember this podcast was my idea. My idea. just Geddy's idea. This should be called The Show with Getty Stringer. You know, and then just Tom's here in brackets.
Yeah.
The show with Getty Stringer, brackets, and Tom is also here. Close brackets.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tom, what is your favorite song and why?
Oh, I'm going first. I thought the whole point was you go first.
No, you go first. I was just going to start the section.
Just want to introduce it.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay. So getting my favourite song, like I said, so you know what? I had a good old listen to this album.
Mm-hmm.
I did. And I like the music. I like it. But it's not like a lot of musicals when they, how do I explain this? I feel like a lot of musicals of this sort of style, this sort of music style, fall into the trap of kind of samey sound.
Mm.
Does that make sense? You kind of hear a variation on the same song,
yeah,
over and over again, because of maybe that's the arrangements or the orchestrations or just purely, I don't know, the writing of them. Mm. But I find, and it's like quite a common thing, that I've experienced.
But yeah. I think it's fair to say as well, though. I think it's fair to say, and we should say, just to keep the balance of bias and stuff. I mean, this type of music isn't your favorite, is it? You're not really big on the whole big bandy,
true.
Jazzy.
Well, I don't know.
You don't hate. No, I'm not saying you don't hate it. You don't hate it, but it's not your favorite.
I didn't really like, which is weird because I love jazz. Mm. Like, I like jazz music. I just think, I don't know why, when it's in a musical, like it was the same with City of Angels.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you for free. My dad is exactly the same. My dad absolutely loves jazz and he loves all types of jazz. But when it comes to that big show, Broadway style stuff, he's not really into it either. Same for my mum, actually, although she doesn't really like jazz. But
Would you say, what would you describe West Side Story as?
It's symphonic with jazz influence. That's how I would describe it.
Because I kind of like that. It's like, I don't know.
But West Side is very different. West Side is...
But I can appreciate it's good.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Like, I can appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't. Like, I'm not saying you hate this type of music. It's not your favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like Seed of Angels, even seeing the score and trying to learn the score, I'm like, I appreciate the brain behind this. But yeah, but regardless of that, I really loved, really, really, really liked, and for kind of the reasons that I've already said, My Secret Weapon. That's the song. That's the name of the song. Just so you know. Yeah, My Secret Weapon. We should stop laughing.
Stop it.
Because you know the whole thing. Basically, I love it. It's really cool. It reveals, throughout the song, it reveals how the two have got new products out. So Rubenstein has got she's the science based one. She's got a new, she's using estrogen in her cream, right? So it's like anti-aging. She calls it like the female, something like the trump card they have over men or something like that. And so she puts it in her cream, whereas Arden has basically, it's really weird, different shades of pink for her lipstick.
Yeah.
And she's got all these different shades of pink, and the marketing people behind it are brilliant, because they're like, well, how do we sell this? Okay, well, why don't we have a pink for every season or every month? So they sell the same thing, but it's in different colors of pink, and people buy it because, like, oh, it's a different product. And then Rubenstein's like, oh, how do they're basically they start out selling them. Arden starts out selling the Rubenstein cream, So Rubenstein's like, how do we do this? And her marketing manager's like, well, why don't we sell one as a day cream and one as a night cream, but it's the same cream, but we just market it as two, and people start buying it even though it's the exact same thing. And yeah, I just think it's really interesting, like, to see the beginning of marketing and advertising and how that is so important, kind of more so than the actual product itself, but how you're portraying it to people. I just think it's really a really cool song. And then obviously I love, like, as we know, I love a play on words. So the My Secret Weapon goes from being about the product to actually about the people on their team. I can't remember if it's Arden or Rubenstein starts singing about their marketing manager as their secret weapon, and and how that he's asking for a promotion. She's like, I can't put you in the limelight because I need you to be my secret, because you're like,
Because
first of all, because she doesn't want to attract attention from her as a woman.
Well,
business,
and they do.
But also, she doesn't want him to be poached.
Yeah, and they do that really cool thing with the music, doesn't he? Scott Frankel. He makes it sound. I don't mean to make this sound like I think it's mimicky and comicky. I don't. I mean it for what I'm trying to say, in that the way that the Pink Panther does it, and the way that old detective, like, jazz style stuff does it. It's very kind of
it is that
you hear
tone,
that type of music, and you instantly think of people sneaking around and doing things behind people's backs and stuff like that, which I think is really clever. And, you know, I as much as we said about the music not grabbing you, I do think, as you said, there is brains behind a lot of it. There is. It's just a lot of it is just very samey and doesn't grab you in a way that a lot of other scores do.
I don't think it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't grab you. It doesn't retain my, grabs me at points, but it's.
Well, that's the thing. And like I think it's at its best when it's actually telling a story with the music, which I don't think it does very often.
Yeah.
And I think it does in
because
that song.
Because there's so much to tell.
Exactly. And I think they do it in face to face.
Interesting.
I think they do it in face to face. But my favorite was Fire and Ice, which is the song that is sung in the advertisement later on in the show for Revlon. Revlon's first, like, big advert. And with that it's a Spanish-y passionate dance feel, the music. And it's exactly what you expect. Like, it's what you hear it and you could think it was an actual advert music. You know, it could be that.
Yeah.
But it's also telling a story, and it's also showing you the dichotomy from what's going on with Revlon and the two women with Fire and Ice, and between their relationship. And as you say, it's a play on words in a lot of different ways. And it's really clever and it's really fun, and it retains your interest throughout the whole song. Because it does that. And Frankel said that he was a huge fan of music from the 30s, 40s, 50s and 60s. And he wanted to write that without making it a pastiche. And so he just like, he said he soaked his brain in the fluids of those periods to see what absorbed naturally, which is a very roundabout way of saying he listened to the music. But I like
that he, people say this about, if you're coming back to a second draft, you should sit down and write down what you remember from it, from the first.
Yeah.
And then that is normally the bits that are bits like that the stick. Good bits.
Yeah.
So and it's kind of good. I kind of liked that he said that in a way that he just sort of sat and then went to write. And
yeah,
kind of what came out was what he thought was decent.
Yeah. And look, it's not pastiche. I don't think it's bad music. I don't think there's any point I'm thinking, God, this is rubbish. I don't think that at all. At any point. I just think that 85% of the music doesn't actually tell a story and doesn't drive the plot in a lot of ways that music does in musical theatre. And doesn't mean that the two leading ladies, Pascal Pone and Christine Ebersole, doesn't mean they don't sing it well. And it's written beautifully for their voices and they sing it brilliantly. But yeah, most of the music for me just doesn't quite tell that story that I think musical theatre music should tell.
That epicness of the...
Well, it doesn't necessarily even have to be epic, but I just don't think... There's just a lot of songs in there where things are happening rather than a song that drives something forward. That's what I mean. There's a difference between a song within which something is just happening and a song which is progressing the plot or helping the drama. And I don't think there's a lot of music in this show that does that. It doesn't.
Yeah. You shouldn't be able to take it out and the story still still makes sense.
Exactly.
You know.
Well, that was the show for this week. W. Which is always an interesting letter because I always see it as double V, really. But yes, I think we should also point out before we go that what is obviously striking about War Paint, the musical, is that it is a female story about two empowering women written entirely by men.
By men. Dun, 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 dun. This is always happening.
But it was happening in 2017, you know, and it was based on a documentary. It was based on a documentary called The Powder and the Glory, which is a fantastic name for a documentary.
Yeah, that is really good.
The Powder and the Glory by Anne Carol Grossman and Arnie Reisman. Now, if you're going to write a musical about the documentary, at least get Anne Carol Grossman in to help you with it and to do something about it. But she's not mentioned anywhere in the musical. The only people mentioned are men. And it's directed by a man, Doug Wright. It was all men. Michael Grief, directing it. I bet the MD was a man. The guy playing the piano in the opening kind of like party thing that they always do, the reveal, what do you call it? The press like day.
Producer showing thing.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah, that thing was a man playing the piano. So I imagine it was an MD who was a man. And you just go, come on. Come on, buddy.
Yeah. Well, look, you can, if you enjoyed today's episodes, it's the first one you've listened to. Welcome. You can follow us at show_show_pod on Twitter and Instagram and drop us an email, showshowpod@gmail.com. We're still looking for stage frights. Send them our way. If you've got any recommendations for shows in the next series, please send them our way as well. Or if you just want to chat, come on down. And please give us a 5-star review because we really do appreciate it. Please share us with your friends, your family, your postmen, your bakers, your candlestick makers. All that's left to say is I've been Tom.
And I've been Geddy.
And that was War Paint. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Get on top.